Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are God's, little g. You are God's because you came from God.
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
God came from heaven, became a man, made man into little gods.
We have the potential and the capacity through a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to know God, but that does not mean we are God. The Bible is very clear. There is only one God, and he will not share his glory with another.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Day two.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh!
I guess I forgot to take that class about clearing your throat before you begin talking. This is Wretched Radio. Why would we want to start elevating the quality of this program now? Would you please send stuff to idea@wretched.org and feel free to text away 877-282-2337 on day to who? To who? To who? On Mailbag Week on Wretched Radio.
We're going to start with a question.
Maybe I need to use this range down here.
That's better.
Ooh.
From Anonymous, Todd, my parents are going through a divorce. My mom is, I think, possibly a new believer. I've explained the gospel to her, and in the last few months, she has said she believes and desires to know God. She's been going to church and reading the Bible.
Awesome.
To my knowledge, she's been reading the Bible to my knowledge. However, she is also the one who filed for divorce 2 months ago. Despite my input, she continues to say she wants a divorce because of the unhealthiness in their relationship and her strong belief that my dad will never change. My dad is not a believer and has in the past been skeptical of the gospel, leaning more toward belief in science and proof. He does not, however, want to be divorced and is very sad about the situation, has admitted his faults, asked for forgiveness from my mom, and is willing to seek counseling even from the local church. Still, my mom is not interested in counseling or alternatives to divorce. How do I, as their daughter and follower of Christ, speak into this situation with the goal of pointing them both toward Christ?
Oh, wow. And believe it or not, this situation, at least on the surface of it, is lacking a fair amount of complexity. Now, there's no doubt more details involved here, but so often these situations can become so complex and entangled, it appears this is relatively straightforward. The question that isn't answered in this particular email is, why is she wanting to file for divorce? The language that was described sounded a little bit more therapeutic. The relationship just isn't very good, but was there unfaithfulness? Was there more to it than perhaps you as the daughter are aware? That would indeed still be valid grounds for her to say, I want to get a divorce. And you can encourage her to take a look at that decision and consider it perhaps more biblically than she has historically. This is not an easy thing to do for an older believer, let alone a newer believer. To say that you can forgive even an awful sin, and I'm not saying this happened in this situation, but whatever the awful sin is or whatever the dynamics are, that you can actually forgive it and healing can take place, especially when the other person, who in this instance isn't even a believer, appears to desire to make amends and do better. That's a really good start. So without knowing if there was any sort of adultery going on, I would encourage you to just keep encouraging your mom. And if you're going to church, engage the elders. You need support in this. Somebody who can lovingly come alongside her and say, hey, let's take a look at this. And it might not be the elder or elders themselves. There could be an older woman in the congregation who is godly, who would be fit perfectly for this task, who could engage with your mom, walk her through it, mourn with her over the ache that exists from so much sin, and then try to gently lead her to consider keeping the marriage together if there was adultery. Now, if there was an adultery, that encouragement would have to be stronger. Mom, if you divorce Dad unbiblically, that would be a sin, and God will not bless that. John Street once used the phrase that God will release the hounds of heaven toward the person who gets an unbiblical divorce. It is a rarity when you see somebody getting divorced unbiblically where things go great, never better. I got a divorce unbiblically and the Lord is blessing me. In fact, you see just the opposite of that. And so you're going to need to be patient. You're going to need to be loving, and you need to call in the reinforcements. And those troops exist in one place, your local church. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. But if I might just add one last thought, if indeed Dad did commit adultery and Mom decides, no, I don't want to stay married to him, she does have that right. And you can't force her to do something when she has biblical grounds for doing so. 877-282. Divorce is a drag, isn't it? Divorce, it just always, yeah. There's just so much sin involved and hurt. And everybody gets affected by it. And by the way, this is another reason you need to be praying for your pastor, because he's going to be dealing with this situation and way worse. I was just reading, there was somebody, I think I received an email. The couple she just got saved, but she's been divorced three times. And then she got divorced three times, get saved, and now has met somebody who's a believer that there might be marriage in the future. All right, you're the pastor. What do you say? Will you officiate that ceremony? The complexities of some of these cases is just hair-pulling. So pray for your local pastor and send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
This is from Sue. Todd, what is your opinion on independent or non-denominational churches?
Yeah, it depends on the church. I understand that we can have the sense that being in a sound denomination is safe. And what we've seen over the decades is it's not, because we've seen entire decades go the way of liberalism. And so denominations aren't any more safe and secure than an independent local church. And that is why even when a church is inside of a good denomination, doesn't mean that church is good. It also, vice versa, there can be a good church in a bad denomination, just staying for whatever reason. And so I think you need to make the decision not based on affiliation, but on the context of the local church itself, which is why start attending, interview people. I mean, not like sit down, state your name. I'm talking about just get to know people and ask them questions about the church. What is their experience like? What do they love about the church? What do they wish were different at the church? Learn about the church and then ask the elders a ton of questions. You have every right to do that because you are putting yourself underneath their spiritual authority. So ask those elders questions and then make a decision about whether or not you're going to become a member based on that church and not necessarily their affiliation. An independent church is just as safe as any sound denomination as long as they're sound. Now, there's theological issues, but don't forget, everybody's alarm bells are going to go off when I use this word, the spirit of the church. That's a small s, spirit of the church. What does it feel like when you go there? And I'm not talking about the mystical worship feels. I'm talking about, are people loving? Do they welcome you? Do they seem to have joy? Are they people who are excited about the Lord? Those are things that you do indeed want to search, because those things are the fruit of what is going on in the pulpit, in the classrooms, and in the elder meetings. All that to say, you got to judge a church on its own merits, not affiliations. 877-282-2337.
This is from Sharon. Todd, I know I have an unhealthy fear of God. I want to look to God and not fear him to the point that it's paralyzing. Any advice?
Yeah. You got to take a look at your diet. What are you learning about the Lord? What are you studying about King Jesus? Are you perhaps even gleaning or reading over some things that would warm your heart and not remove your fear, but it would redefine your fear? It would move it from being a servile, God's going to get me, God's going to cut me down, God is going to, he's going to whack me for this one, to a reverential fear. So you don't want to lose all fear, but you do want to have a reverential and not a servile fear. And I think the way to get there is to consider your diet. Who are you listening to right now? What are the sermons like coming out of the pulpit? What are you reading? When you study the Bible, what are you looking for? What are the things that really jump out at you? Are you overlooking some things? And I think there might be a group of people that would be profoundly helpful for you if you learn how to consume their teachings rightly. Who are those people? Next on Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. We thanked them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God, but let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over 3 decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at fortisplus.org or all major podcast platforms. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. Probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. And get this, it's all free. Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Question, what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? And Dr. John Krotz, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. And he's discovered 5 powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Krotz shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Head to Heart, available now on Fortis Plus.
Important dates in Christian history. 387 AD. Augustine of Hippo is converted.
His writings became bedrock for the Middle Ages and were influential in the Reformation. The Confessions and City of God are still read by many. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can you just feel the discipline? This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you are so disciplined today. I can't believe that you haven't wanted to jump in on any of the aforementioned, the questions that were asked a few minutes ago.
Well, I did on one, but I...
Which one was it?
The marriage question.
The divorce deal?
Yeah.
Whether she should divorce? Okay, go ahead.
The comment that I was going to make, I wasn't even going to offer anything to the lady that asked the question. I was just going to offer the comment that, because you kind of said it, but there's just so much collateral damage when two people get divorced. It's not just about those two, just the couple. You got kids to think about and other, you know, it doesn't just affect the couple.
Even adult kids. I think we have we're going to wait until the kids are out of the house and then we'll get divorced. They still get hurt. They still get wounded. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
You hear about the couple? They were both 94 years old and they'd been married. Get this, 70 years.
Wow.
And they got divorced. When asked, why did you wait so long? They said, we just wanted to wait till all the kids were dead. 2, 3, 4, 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Brandy. Todd, hello. My name is Brandy. I'm 39 years old, never married, have no kids. I wanted to ask about online dating. My issue is that I'm tempted all the time to go online, even by people in my church. And although I know it's not a sin, the sinful part on my end would be going against my conscience because I would give up trusting God and taking matters into my own hands. Is my thinking wrong?
Perhaps. It depends on the dating site and it'll depend on your heart. You cannot use a dating site and sin against God by not trusting him. Or you could be on a dating site and not sin because you are trusting him. You're just utilizing the tools. I'm not sure that those of us who are not in Gen Z land or even some of the millennial gang, that we understand how different it is out there when it comes to dating. There are so few people that I talk to that are in their 20s, that are married, that said, oh yeah, we met at church. Yeah, we were at university and we met and we did class. We went to church together and we got married. Instead, I hear all the time how strange it is, how difficult it is, and how dating apps are the way that people connect. That is just the reality of how things operate these days. So first, suggestion I might make is make sure the dating app that you're using is the best one you can find. I know there's like Bumble, there's Hinge. Make sure you're not on something that is going to expose you to bad stuff. Make sure that you make it really clear that you're a Christian. Make it clear in your description of yourself that you are somebody who is looking for a godly spouse. Having said that, please note, just because somebody of the opposite sex says they are, it doesn't mean that they are. So I guess that would be suggestion number two. Glean carefully. If you are in doubt, swipe them out. If you don't think that they're serious about their relationship with the Lord, then they are done. Then move on to the next one. Suggestion number three then would be to guard your heart. You're going to have to do that no matter what you do to expose yourself potentially to finding a spouse. Because you can be sinning and not trusting God if all you do is hope that you're going to find somebody at your church. You can still be sinning. So it doesn't, as long as you're using something that is non-sinful, you have liberty to use it. Having said all of that, if your conscience is troubling you, then don't. But I would suggest to you, it doesn't have to. Guard your heart. Make sure that you are satisfied as you are in the state of singleness. Doesn't mean you have to give up hope. It doesn't mean you have to lose your desire to want to be married to somebody, but you do need to work on making sure, Lord, if you don't provide a godly spouse for me, I'm content. I'm not going to carp. I'm not going to whine. I'm not going to be sad because I have you and you are the best thing Anything else that you give to me, I will receive it joyfully, but it will not make me satisfied in life because you have done that. You've got to be working on that. And might I guess make my last suggestion. Don't lower your standards. Don't lower your standards unless they need to be rethought. Now, how is that contradictory suggestioning? No. It's saying that we want to make sure that you don't give in on the essentials, the boxes that need to be checked for marrying somebody. They've got to be a believer. And I would also say they've got to be a believer who really loves the Lord more than they're going to love you. That is so crucial. I know it sounds counterintuitive. It'll change the trajectory of your marriage and your life. Marry somebody who doesn't love you as much as the Lord, and you'll be much happier. So don't change those standards. But if your standard is perfection, you need to alter that. Meaning, you're not going to find somebody who's absolutely perfect. You've got things that you prefer. So let's just say you find somebody godly and they're checking the godly boxes. They love the Lord more. They're earnest about church. They actually belong. They serve. They go to Bible study. All of those things are, and it's like, great. But they don't like taking trips to Europe. And that's important to you. Don't disqualify them. Those are things that you can work through. Don't just swipe somebody out of the realm of possibility because they don't like watching tennis. Just those are not the types of things that are disqualifiers. I would even go further. I've never really articulated a list. They don't dress the way that you prefer. It's not a disqualifier. Make sure your standards aren't preposterous. Social media has informed you they have got to be perfect in every single regard, or they're simply not qualified. That's just not true. The message of social media is everything needs to be perfect for you. Your first car needs to be amazing. Your first house, perfect. It's got to be perfect. Don't do it if it's not perfect. That's just not the way the world operates. So make sure that your standard is uncompromising when it comes to essential elements of what makes a spouse a qualified spouse versus what the world tells you that spouse has to be. And then send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
This is from Ethan. Todd, so my parents...
You're being so disciplined.
I know.
I know you want to say something.
No. You covered all the bases there. I had a checklist and I checked them off as you said it. This is from Ethan. He said, so Todd, my parents and older brother have been involved and consumed with the NAR movement for several years. I'm wondering how to bring it up and how dangerous that doctrine is without them shutting down the conversation altogether.
Yeah, that's probably is what's going to happen. And then Thanksgiving is going to be a drag. Now, it might end up being that because the movement that they are in is awful. I would suggest going the positive route rather than pointing out the negative, introduce to them the positive. So you're going to have to do a little sleuthing. Can you find something that you might expose them to that they might actually consume? Is it a book? Is it a sermon? Is it a video? And or you're reading your Bible. Hey, mom and dad, take a look at this and then point out something in the Bible that perhaps is counter to what they're consuming in the NAR movement. And let the word start to wash over them and persuade them and show them, that's something different. Second, make sure that your relationship is stellar. This is true, I think, in every dynamic, but particularly the family dynamic. If you don't have a great relationship with your sibling or your parents or your kids, telling them that the movement that they're in is a dog's breakfast ain't going to go down real well. So if your relationship hasn't been great, I would encourage you, before you would even consider pointing out negative, I think you can start pointing out positive now, good teaching now. Hey, would you listen to this sermon? I found this really affecting. So would you just give it a listen, see what you think about it. Let me know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Non-confrontational, exposing them to positive. In the meantime, before you get to any negative critiques, please work on your, be a super kid, be an amazing parent so that you've got a little bit of credit built up and you can have those conversations. And might I finally suggest, don't go after individual teachers. If they love somebody in the NAR, if you go after that person, you know, the Heidi Bakers of the world, and they love Heidi Baker, you're pulling a dog's ear is what you're doing in a fight. You're going to get bit yourself. So don't go after the individual teacher. You can go after bad teaching, but I would suggest only after the relationship has been righted and you have got yourself a little bit of credit. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.